This is Leafs Nation Postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stemmick and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Chip by Mete, the center. Backhanded back into the near side now for Hyman. Hyman trying to backhand it a little further into the zone. Couldn't, but now Marleau steals. Marner with a shot. That's not the rebound. They score! Zach Hyman! Holy mackerel! And Mitch Marner sets it up!
Wondering if Joe Bowen was going to make an overtime call like 2 weeks ago he did with John Tavares in Montreal. Wondered how in the heck could he be making a Leaf game-winning goal given they were down 3-0. But that is the game-winning goal by Zach Hyman. The Leafs come back from a 3-0 deficit. That made it 4-3. They add two empty net goals for a 6-3 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs in front of a disappointing, then passionate, then delirious Scotiabank Arena crowd as we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. So much to cover. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll also hear hockey headlines from our friends at Hockey Night in Canada. Little Savvy Says trade deadline talk later on. We'll replay all the exciting calls, but we call it the walk to the subway because it's memories of the old days at Maple Leaf Gardens going to College Station, and now they go to Union Station. Boy, oh boy, when I was a kid, I'd be running and screeping and yelping and all that kind of stuff heading to the subway tonight, if you could envision
you'd
that.
You'd be getting dragged by your old man.
Yeah, no, my dad didn't go, like, hey, with my brother.
Look at this place. Like, is there a clock to get out of here that you have to beat the buzzer?
I just, people, there is no staying around like the Carolina Hurricanes for the surge.
Let's get
Well, they want to get on the subway. They want to get to the establishments.
Well, I don't blame a lot of talk about tonight, Gord. This was a, you know, this is one of those building blocks you look back at it during the season, you know, when you're in the playoffs that you can draw from, right? They came back in a game. They're down 3-0 to a Habs team that had this game in control, it seemed like, and they just pulled together as a group. This is, like I said, one of those big wins that it takes everybody, and they did it.
And it was a deserved game by the Maple Leafs because the game started, the first 8 minutes were great, and then, wow, I said to you, this was almost like those Game 7 Boston losses that in 5 minutes the Canadians took over, they dominated, the crowd was out of it, and then the Maple Leafs, like you said, had to play strong two-way hockey, had to show some passion, some compete, and they did it for the last 40 minutes.
They definitely did, and you know, a big tap on Freddie's shoulders, too. I kind of said early maybe they should change goalies because it wasn't going his way early. They stuck with him, and for good reason. He makes 32 saves tonight, out-saves Carey Price by one, and he really was the difference in that second period. He made a couple of huge saves, helped turn the tide for his team, waiting for his team to get back in it. They get a bounce. Finally, William Nylander gets a bounce. You talked about it before the game. If he can just have a multi-point game, Gord, if we can find that again in the tapes, Gord did call that, they would get a win, and they did.
Yeah, we don't keep tapes anymore, but anyway, yeah, we'll find it somewhere. Just
CD?
So you know that's
happening. Burn it on a CD?
Burn a CD. So the stats whiz, Steve Fellen. So I was wondering, you know, he gets the answers to us before we even ask the question. Wow, the last time the Leafs have come back from a 3-0 lead to win a game, February 6, 2010. We're talking 9 years. A 5-4 shootout win against the Washington Capitals. I'm sure they've come back a couple times, probably lost the game in overtime or shootout. But anyway, that's it. 9 years in between a three-goal deficit and come back and win. And, of course, the play you're talking about, first of all, the break was, and we'll go over all the goals later on. Leafs are down 3-2, and just one of those, I don't know where it hit, but just the stanchion, whatever it may be, and Carey Price going back to play it, and the bounce went Nylander and the Leafs' way to tie it up. So with a lot of skill and everything, they also got a break. But usually when you work hard, you get those kind of breaks.
Yeah, you do, and it's been a long time coming. We thought Willie skated well last game and didn't get rewarded last game, obviously. And then tonight on a dump in action, Gord, that didn't hit the partition. It hit the board where the Zamboni guy goes in and out, mm-hmm. and there was a little crack, I guess. I didn't close it because a couple times late in that period, there was a couple other bounces.
Yeah, that's right.
But Carey gets caught going behind his net and a perfect bounce right on Willie's tape. Like we said, he's had enough bounces go against him this way. He's taken out half his team in practice.
Of course, the Garrett Sparks shot we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, way back when. And that's important, not the stanchion, because you're right, because Carey Price might be a little bit leery of that if it was up high, but it really had no reason to take the bounce. It did. Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens can be quite annoyed with that unfortunate break.
Yeah, they can be. And they played a good hockey game. I'm sure Claude Julien is leaving here frustrated because it ended up 6-3, but that's two empty net goals. The Habs played a pretty good game, and you have to give credit to the Leafs. They never gave up. They kept coming in the third like we talked about, and the big boys ended up being the big boys tonight. If we look across the score sheet, you can tell us who got points here, but look at that. Tavares chips in with a helper. You got Morgan Riley with 2 points, Austin Matthews with 2 points, William Nylander with 2 points, Mitchell Marner with 2 points. I mean, the list goes on, and Zach Hyman with 2 big goals, and Andreas Johnsson. So, really, the big boys came to play tonight, and obviously Freddie Anderson behind them all was the big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They really did come. And, you know, again, like we'll describe all the goals later on, but just the Leafs stopped their 3-game losing streak. Looked like they're going to extend it to 4, which starts getting a little bit worrisome. So they stopped that. 7th consecutive time they defeated the Montreal Canadiens. You have to go back between 1939.
The last time this was a rivalry.
It's been a rivalry up to 67, but you're right, the original 6 era. So the Leafs, that's the last time the Leafs had won 7 consecutive games over the Montreal Canadiens. We will come back. We want to catch head coach Mike Babcock at the podium. Luke Fox will join us. We'll also replay all the goals tonight. Hockey headlines later on. A little bit of trade talk as well. A couple trades going on in the NHL tonight that we'll bring you up to date. And we enjoy doing this with Savvy on Thursday. So Savvy says, and he'll be a big part of the Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 fan coverage, as will I on Monday. So we look forward to that. What a night at Scotiabank Arena. A true hockey night in Canada, epic battle, regular season style for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. A 3-0 deficit. They come back for a 6-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It's empty now, but it was rocking just a matter of minutes ago. Scotiabank Arena, a 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll hear from Mike Babcock momentarily. Also, we'll play back all the goals from the exciting comeback win for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, and much, much more coming up. Some trade talk, hockey headlines, and many of the Leaf players will hear from them as well. But Savvy, one of your assignments is the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game.
You like trying to catch me off guard on that one.
I throw it every now and then. Yeah, but I know you're ready. And this one's a tougher one tonight. I know the other night picking Freddie Anderson, or just there have been one or two guys in the 3-game skid. The Arizona game was difficult to pick anybody. But who gets it tonight?
Well, you know what? I look around here and at all the numbers, and everybody kind of showed up here tonight. I liked a lot of games, but tonight I liked the way Morgan Riley was involved. He had 2 helpers. He's +3. He led all players in ice time in the hockey game with 24 minutes and 45 seconds. He had 4 shots on net, 2 hits, and he was just a factor all night. And I thought, I love the way he skated. I like Dermott's game as well. I was thinking about him, but then I look at his stats, Gord. He only played 12 minutes and 50 seconds. So he didn't use that much direct energy in the game. So I thought I'd switch my ways over to Morgan Riley with his 24-45. But a good effort all around. And even our neutral zone guy ended up stepping up. We thought he would. He had a good couple first periods, first period and second period. He ended up getting 2 helpers tonight. That's Mitch Marner. So a good game by all.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. By the way, Morgan Riley has 4 penalty minutes this season. And people say, could he be a candidate for the Lady Byng Trophy?
Yeah.
Like, it's an unusual trophy for a defenseman to win. But, I mean, that's the way he plays the game. It's not like he doesn't get involved. And he had a little bit of bite. You mentioned he was chirping there once with Max Domi a little bit, or having a conversation during a break, because there was a part when Leafs are coming back in the game. To the Canadians' credit, and a lot of Leaf fans are leery of this, they got physical. And you wondered if the Leafs could meet the physical battle. But you know, Leafs aren't an overly physical team, but they didn't shy away. And Morgan Riley was kind of one of those guys that was asserting himself a little bit more.
Yeah, I liked it. Domi took a couple runs tonight at Janssen. Actually ended up hitting them twice pretty hard, once in the second period off a shot, and he walked out of the corner here in the third and got ran over again. And then the play that Morgan Riley didn't like, and I didn't either, I don't know if you noticed it, but down in this corner after the whistle went, Domi went over to Janssen after whistling, gave him a quick little fake like he was going to hit him, and the whistle was gone. And Janssen kind of went like that. And Morgan Riley took offense to it, stepped in for his teammate. They must have had a good 3-4 minute talk at the center ice line during commercial break. And you know what I love about this? Morgan Riley gets the last laugh because they win the hockey game.
Yep, they'd be the same age. I don't know if they ever would have played together in some international competitions or not. Morgan Riley, Max Domi.
World Juniors.
Yeah, could have been. But anyway, about that, standing up for him as far as that goes on the Toronto Maple Leafs side. And the other thing is, later on we'll talk about some trade deadline chatter, but a couple trades that went on during the game today. And first of all, Ottawa and Columbus.
Yeah, the first trade today, obviously, and it kind of got the ball rolling, if you will. The first trade, Ryan Dzingel went from Ottawa with the 7th round pick that was initially Calgary's, that's now Ottawa's, to Columbus for a 2nd round pick in 2020, a 2nd round pick in 2021, and Anthony Duclair, who John Tortorella is not a fan of, and he made that quite clear. And he's off to Ottawa. And then the other trade today.
He did do a great job helping sell him, John Tortorella.
He did.
But
he
anyway,
did.
Ottawa. So Ottawa's taking damaged goods in their mind.
Yeah, Ottawa did not listen to that interview, and therefore they picked him up. And in the other trade, we have Matt Zuccarello going from New York Rangers to Dallas. And Dallas gives up a 2nd-round pick in 2019 and a 3rd-round pick in 2020, both being conditional, because the conditions are the 2nd-round pick becomes a 1st-round pick if Dallas wins 2 rounds in the playoffs, and that would be interesting. And then the 3rd-round pick in 2020 becomes a 1st-round pick if Zuccarello signs. Also, the Rangers also can retain 30% of Matt Zuccarello's contract, which ends up being $300K.
Yeah, and the thing there is it could be theoretically 2 first-round picks going the Rangers' way. Now, Dallas this year would gladly give that up because they've not made the playoffs for a few years. They're very desperate to make the playoffs. You heard Jim Leitz, the president, light into Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn about 6 weeks ago or so. So if they get to the 3rd round, they'll be ecstatic. And then you also buy a year to see if Matt Zuccarello stays in town. They also acquired Ben Lovejoy earlier today, did the Dallas Stars, from the New Jersey Devils. They gave up former Leaf Connor Carrick and a 3rd-round pick. So a little bit of tweak that way, and you know, just a few little pieces that can bolster a Dallas Star team, because it is the wild, wild, wide open West in a lot of ways.
Well, if we can remember, you know, a little while ago when Zuccarello was with the Rangers, helped them get to the Stanley Cup final, he was a big part of that, and he played a big role. So he's accustomed to playoff hockey. He's a little guy that can get under your skin when he's playing at his best, and he's a great offensive talent. So he really helped. And another interesting touch here, too, the Florida Panthers re-signed Frank Vatrano today to 3 years, $7.59 million, which ends up being a $2.5 million AAV. So a guy that the Bruins traded has found his scoring and found a nice spot on that line with Barkov and Huberto is getting rewarded. Nice to see.
Yeah, Frankie Vatrano, and of course we will, of course, follow all the trade deadline coverage here on the Leafs Radio Network and all on Sportsnet as well, right through to 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. A 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Shots on goal, 37-35, favoring the Maple Leafs. You mentioned, yeah, because you were talking about your neutral zone spotlight guy. Mitch Marner had 6 of them, as you discussed earlier. 5 for the Montreal Canadiens went to Max Domi. 5 also went to Andrew Shaw. Montreal, like, it's strange because they had a dominant first period. And then after that, when the Leafs started to outplay them, there's still a lot of things that are impressive about this Montreal Canadian team, aren't there?
Yeah, they were fast tonight. And it forced the Leafs to play fast, which was nice to see. They stepped up their game. But you know what else was good, too? The fans finally got into this, and it helped the Leafs in the third period. They got rocking when the pressure was on, and it just helped them out all around. So it was a good hockey game to be at, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. We've mentioned about the buzz in the building, and it started from game one this season, and there's been so many home games that have been disappointing. The Leafs have actually been a better road team than a home team in a lot of ways, and this was one of those tonight, an epic Saturday night battle, and of course Montreal in town, and the crowd was abuzz, and they were just out of it, and then they came back in a flurry that way.
And the other thing I want to talk about is the Ford Savvy's three keys. We pretty much nailed them bang on, Gord. Price visits Anderson. We thought that Anderson needed to have a big game, and I thought he outplayed Price as the game wore on, which was huge. The big boys were the big boys tonight, as we talked about, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, and Riley. And the other thing is with special teams, they win the special teams battle. They get two goals on the power play. Montreal only gets one, and there you have it, 6-3. And your big call of the night was Nylander getting a multi-point game, which he did.
Yeah, and certainly goals that matter when you're, even though it was a bit of a gift, that game time goal, and all in all, just the way he played tonight as far as it went. We also talked about the fourth line contributing as well, because in a lot of ways it was a fourth line player that helped get things going. But for the Maple Leafs, there ends up being a team component to all of it that went on. And you mentioned quite often Babcock puts the fourth line on after a goal, which is supposed to spark them. And I'm not saying it doesn't, but just you're just a little leery of that, because you always want a good shift right after you get a goal.
Yeah, you do, and it's always an important thing. You always say you want to come back with a great shift. And tonight, I don't know exactly what he was trying to do, but Tyler Ennis scored that goal. I don't know if he was trying to get him more ice time, but ends up Freddie Gauthier and Par Lindholm jump over the boards with him and don't really get much completed. So interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. I think Kyle Dubas will be looking tonight and tomorrow to make a move before Monday's deadline. And I have to think it's coming in the form of some kind of grittiness, whether it's a forward or a defenseman, or that right-handed shot defenseman that everybody so desperately in Toronto needs for some odd reason might be on his agenda.
Well, we're going to take a look here at the goals in tonight's game. We'll try to get a hold of Mike Babcock at one point as far as about what went on.
You want me to text him?
But yeah, give him a quick text and tell him we're looking for him.
But I'll text him and tell him to head to the podium.
Let's get to the excitement about what went on tonight as far as it went. And the excitement wasn't for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The excitement was the – Do we have Mike Babcock?
My text. Hang on. He's just writing back. Be there in a minute. Just hold tight. Okay. Tell Gordy looks good tonight.
Shaking hands, grabbing a water.
No, we're going to play. We're going to start with the goals.
We can hear the rumblings there of Mike Babcock.
He said, hang on a sec. He's just. Hey.
Okay. We're just here in the background here, because we don't want to start the goals and cut them off. Joe Bowen's. So we're not connected. Okay. Let's get the goals here, starting with the Montreal Canadiens.
Zaitsev along with Janssen are able to keep it in, but it's pushed out at center, and now here's Domi in with a pass, nicely played away in front of the net there by Muzzin. Domi around back of the net, plays it back to the blue line, and a long shot right on, scores! The second rebound is pushed into the goal by Shaw, and it's 1-0 Montreal.
Still had enough, and obviously
let's go to Mike Babcock
to get the job done eventually.
Well, I thought we started fantastic. I thought the first 8 minutes were, I don't know if we can skate any faster, move the puck any better, but when they scored, for whatever reason, we lost composure there for a bit. Even their power play goal, I mean, we weren't in the right spots, and you know, we were able to get in the room and get regrouped. And you know, we got a lot of belief in our team. We think we've got a good team, and talked about having lots of hockey. We've got to start doing things right. Freddie had a real good sequence in the second period where they could probably put the game out of reach. I don't know what the score was at that time, to be honest with you, but I thought he did a good job there. And, you know, sometimes as a goalie, when three go by you, it's hard to hold your composure and make the next save, but I thought he did a good job, and that was a huge part of having success tonight.
What's your main message during that first intermission?
That we started great. We've lost our composure. We can get it back. There's lots of hockey. It's Saturday night. It's in our house. It's guaranteed win night. Let's win.
What do you like about the power play tonight?
Score. You know, I'm not... sometimes you can go through... We do so much analytics now, and you got all these things that tell you how great it is, and you know, we're entered the zone this many times, won this many faceoff, had this many attempts. I like goals.
He's been up in my past few games, the scoring on that little shot where Herbert sees it high.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I thought he was exceptional as the game went on tonight, really good. I thought physical on offense and really determined and really solid defensively. I was very impressed with him, but obviously a big goal for us. I thought it was a real good play by Willie. Instead of carrying it down the flank, he just made a play very quickly that created space underneath for Marlowe and Innes to bury it. So, I mean, that was a big part in the game, obviously, and you need your specialty teams to be good. We had a huge kill in the third period that helped us as well. It's a good win for our team when it's 3-0 and they got to turn the music on loud because they're scared what the fans will say. That's always not a great feeling, even though we thought we were really prepared. Like, we really jumped. But it just goes to show you when you're young sometimes and it's a big game, you get a little off kilter sometimes when you shouldn't. You should just stay steady on the rudder and keep getting her done.
At what point did you feel that the tide was turning in your direction?
Well, the second goal was huge for us, obviously. You know, once we got it to within one and you're set up for the third and it's in your building, like I said, you know, we like our hockey team. We think we've got a good hockey club. And so then, for sure, obviously, we're in a good spot.
Have you seen the level of intensity and passion between these two teams grow since you've been here?
Well, I mean, at the start, the first thing, we were no good. So pretty hard to have a rivalry. And then last year, they had a downturn of Webb and Carey Price weren't available. And they've made a number of changes. Now, it's the first time we've played when both teams are good hockey teams since I've been here in the 4 years. So that's probably the biggest difference.
Thanks, Coach.
Have a good night.
Boy, Mike Babcock didn't have to go. He said, thanks, Coach, enough. Did you notice turning the music up to drown the crowd out? He just said little things when you're down as far as that went. But obviously pretty happy about the performance. And mentioned it's since he's been here, it's the closest these two teams have been parity-wise. And I mentioned that's really gone on for decades. They've always been kind of out of sync. So it's a nice little battle.
Yeah, it was. Both teams showed up to play tonight, obviously, and the Leafs had the better of the Habs late, and that was the difference. But he's right. His team came out of the gates flying. I don't know if they've skated any better. Me and you even talked about it as we were sitting up there watching, and they get the result they wanted at the end of the day. And getting rid of that three-game losing skid they were on was probably the best thing that happened.
A 6-3 win. Of course, two of them were empty net goals for the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they come back from a 3-0 deficit to defeat the Montreal Canadiens. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, joined now by Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. And our good friend Luke, Stevie Fallon, quickly has out that it's the first time since February 2010 over Washington the Leafs have come back from a three-goal deficit to win a game. So we know just how rare nights like tonight are.
Yeah, it's funny. Basically, this team, you know, only showed up for 40 minutes, but they're that talented that they can rally. And you know, I think it's a group effort. I think Freddie, you know, shut the door. Of course, I think that was key. There was one flurry there where I think he made about four saves within 10 seconds. So he was brilliant when he needed to be. And this team showed a lot of character. I mean, you go down 3-0 to a team that looked like they wanted it more, that was outworking them on the forecheck. The Leafs special teams looked pretty sloppy there on the penalty kill, and it felt like Montreal's night. But you go in, you regroup, you get focused, you get a nice power play goal by Austin Matthews, who switches it up and goes low instead of high on Carey Price. And it just gets the ball rolling, and this team has enough scores, and when they work hard, like they did, and get a little lucky, that bounce off the corner board that went right to William Nylander. I mean, that's just pure fluke. They found a way.
Well, yeah, and me and Gore were exactly talking about that. They found a way. And the big thing about this game, it goes a long way as well, Luke. It you know, when you can come back from a 3-0 deficit, and it really shows team building, and you have something to pull from, whether it's in the playoffs or later down in the regular season. When you get down, you know you can get back in it.
Absolutely, and against a good team. I mean, Montreal's in all likelihood heading to the playoffs as well. So, you know, and under the bright lights, this is Saturday night, there was a little bit of tension. I mean, they were on their longest losing skid of the entire season. Mind you, it's only three games. But, you know, they didn't look very good in Arizona. And against the Blues, they played two really bad periods. So they needed to kind of come together. And all three lines, I'd say all three top lines, all contributed and all, you know, got in on the action. It wasn't just a one-man show. And you could tell in the post-game interviews that the guys felt good about this one. Not just coming back from 3-0, but also ending that losing skid. So good on them, because otherwise they'd be heading into trade deadline, and if they don't add anything, there'd be a lot of questions about, well, this team, maybe they should add something because they don't look complete. But for them to rally back and you know, win this one 6-3 and get with a kind of an all-hands-on-deck performance, you know, it kind of gets things back on the right track.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, a four-game losing streak all of a sudden, to have people wondering and believing a lot more. Maybe radical surgery needs to be done, so certainly the Leafs have avoided that. You know, another one just on a non-on-ice matter. Now, we watch up from up in the press box, so we're pretty high. We're kind of sometimes like watching a crowd watch a game, but I know just talking to a few people or hearing from people in the crowd, it's a tough building in a way. It's not traditionally a loud building. It's been louder this year, and boy, it was rocking the last 40 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. It was night and day from the beginning. It was kind of funny. Babcock commented on that. He said, you know, we're in trouble when they start turning up the volume on the in-house music because they want to, you know, they want to drown out the silence. And he has a point. Like, I was actually talking to a reporter who just had his first few games here, this one and the one two nights ago. And he was kind of shocked because he had been to the Bell Center and he, Toronto's known as the hockey Mecca, and it's surprisingly quiet if they're losing. But I do like how the crowd got into it once the home team rallied, you know, and by the end, it was a thrilling finish. There's a little bit of passion, a little bit of hate beginning to form between these two teams. I love the Shea Weber, Austin Matthews exchange. I mean, that's just part of hockey, right? They're both battling for a puck, but Austin throws him down and shows that Austin has some strength. He's a big man. And then Weber like grabs at his foot and no penalty, you know, no one getting hurt, but just the type of exchange that you kind of want to see more of with these Leafs. A little bit more care, a little bit more anger. You know, Johnson was yelling at the ref over his hooking call late in the game, and it was just like, okay, these guys actually care about winning. They're not afraid to do, you know, go to some dirty areas and engage the other team. You know, Hyman's game winner is him driving to the net and getting a rather ugly goal. But that's the type of thing that I think they're going to need come April.
Another big thing in our Savvy's Three Keys was Price visits Anderson tonight. And, you know, I have to say, throughout the year, you know, I can remember that game in Tampa where the Leafs dominated and they lost and Freddie wasn't his best. And in Boston, he hasn't been great this year. I thought this was a real good test for Freddie. He didn't have the start he wanted, but that's the thing that's changed about him. The way he came out in the second and third, made some huge saves in that second period to keep his team in it, really showed his team that in big games he can step up.
Absolutely. And the thing about that is I thought he was rattled. When he took that tripping penalty on Shaw, I thought he was feeling frustrated that, you know, his crease was getting a little too crowded and he was getting bumped a little too often. And, you know, he let in three goals. So for him to, you know, gather himself during that intermission, come out and not allow another goal and give his team a chance, I thought it was a phenomenal showing. And Austin Matthews kind of, you know, unprovoked, took up Freddie's case and said, you know what, this guy doesn't get enough credit. He wins a lot of games for us that otherwise we wouldn't deserve to win. And he's right. I think Leaf fans and us writers probably to some extent too take Anderson for granted because, you know, the Leafs' zone exits aren't always clean. They don't always box out. There are a lot of second and third chances, especially we saw several examples of that tonight. And Freddie just bears down calmly and shuts the door. And you know, he deserves a lot of credit for this one as well.
Just a trade deadline. We're all going to be busy up till Monday. We've had a couple of moves going on tonight, and a couple of moves have already happened. As far as the Toronto Maple Leafs go, what are you thinking of the best case possibilities and any other big kind of moves or destinations you're thinking now that a few of the Nuggets have dropped already?
Yeah, you know what? I really get the sense that they already played their big card. They played it early in getting Jake Muzzin. You know, all the kind of talk around the trade deadline, the guys and especially Babcock keep bringing up Muzzin and what he's meant. And they did spend their first-round pick on him. So it wouldn't surprise me if they got, you know, a depth winger or a depth defenseman that doesn't cost much. But I just don't see Kyle Dubas spending big. And by spending big, I mean dipping into the Timothy Liljegrens or the Rasmus Sandins or, you know, trading away Johnson or Kapanen, who are on expiring deals. And it's a question mark whether they're both going to be able to be brought back next fall once they pay Mitch Marner just because of the cap situation. So something like that would signify a big move. But I haven't heard anything, and I don't get the sense that they're willing to do that. I think they like the group here, and if anything, it'll be more kind of tinkering around at the fringes of this lineup. I would look at, you know, Nashville, Winnipeg, perhaps San Jose, maybe even Vegas to be the other teams to make a big play. I mean, Columbus is definitely all in there. I mean, they're really going for it, and I like the boldness Kekalainen has shown, but I don't think Dubas is quite there yet. I think, you know, his big move was Muzzin, and anything else will kind of be more of a smaller complementary piece.
Well, look forward till Monday. Thanks, as always, for tonight. Appreciate it.
Okay, have a great night, guys.
Luke Fox joining us from Sportsnet.ca. Of course, the next Leaf game will be Monday against the Buffalo Sabres right after the NHL trade deadline. We'll be on right after the game to talk about all that went down that day and that evening. A 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard. We're going to get the goal calls now so you can hear the excitement of tonight's game. The building was rocking. Some out-of-town scores we'll look at. And the top of the hour at 11 will be our trade deadline chat, like we had one on Thursday. A little Savvy Says segments as well, as Mark has been tabbing his NHL sources and getting some possible destinations. Has already hit on a couple, so we'll chat about that. And meanwhile, out-of-town scoreboard, we could have a unique situation in the outdoor game, Savvy?
Yeah, it was raining a bit, I hear, through some Twitter things, and it looks like the game's still on. But had it got called after two periods had been played, the team leading would take the W.
And Pittsburgh's up 3-1 in that over Philadelphia, just under 7 minutes left. It's interesting. They were talking about they had some windows to move it to the afternoon, either 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. They know there's going to be a lot of rain. There's going to be a lot of rain in the Toronto area as well. And they kind of gambled. It looks like they're going to carry on, but it is pouring rain down there. So we might have had our first ever rain out for a while, but the game would call because they have played two periods of time. Let's get back to the excitement here. We played the first goal by Andrew Shaw from let's go back. Let's start from the start, play all the goals again, because we cut the first goal, cut it off a bit when Mike Babcock joined our show.
Babs,
his post-game scrum. 8 minutes. What a great hockey game. Then it just turned in the Montreal Canadiens' favor.
Domi around back of the net. Plays it back to the blue line and a long shot right on. Scores! The second rebound is pushed into the goal by Shaw, and it's 1-0 Montreal.
Andrew Shaw's 13th of the year from Kulak, and Domi at 8:07.
Yeah, really one of these breakdowns we were talking about yesterday or last game there, have you, and it happened tonight. Shot from the point, Shaw gets one, two, and three whacks at it and finally is able to put it home. And after the Leafs had a great 8 minutes, they were flying out of the gate. Like Mike Babcock said in his presser, probably the best we've seen him skate all year. They're down 1-0.
Well, they're down 1-0, and boy, does the worm ever turn just about 4 minutes later.
Here's Petrie in across the line, sweeps it into the slot area. Thomas Tatar scores! 2-0 Montreal!
Thomas Tatar is 21st. Another nice trade pickup by Mark Bergeron, their general manager, from Petrie at 12:44.
Yeah, he's had a tremendous season. I think he'd, if you asked me to bet right now, he'd have more goals than Pacioretty does with the Vegas Golden Knights. And just a beautiful snip down the right wing inside the crossbar, a greatly placed shot, and his 21st of the year, like you said, and they're up 2-0.
Well, 2-0, they're up, and then another power play opportunity for Montreal, so it is just barely a minute later.
Now it is Hyman scrumming it along in the near corner. Played back to the blue line. Canadiens still with it, and Richard scores! Petrie, 3-0 Montreal with 6:08 to go in the first period.
It's not often you can hear Joe a little bit of tinge there of sadness, but you can kind of hear it. He always brings it for every goal call. But 13:52, Jeff Petrie is 11th from Andrew Shaw, Paul Byron. They've scored three goals in just over 5 minutes, and you're kind of wondering what the hell happened and what happened on that goal.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked at you. You looked away from me, and it was just an awkward situation. We were both disappointed, and it just took the life out of the building. And it was just another nice shot. You got to give him credit, but he's all alone walking in. It seemed like he had all kinds of time.
Better shot than we thought, because we kind of wondered if Freddie could have had it or not. I mean, we're getting a little picky. But
yeah, I know. It was
wondered.
A twisted wrister from the top of the circles, but he walked in, and it was 1-1000, 2-1, and no one went to him, and he just kept walking in. So they went up 3-0 at that point. I said to you, I think maybe they should make a goalie change here, give them a spark. But they stuck with him, and for good reason.
Yeah, and that's why you're the rookie in the broadcasting business this year. That leave it to the – you're savvy, but I'm the savvy veteran. And they stuck with him that way. 20-10 were the shots on goal in favor of Montreal. Freddie might have wanted to be pulled, just like Connor David. Maybe McDavid wanted to be suspended. I don't know. But give Freddie. He's a competitor. 3-0. But it was just – and you said going in the second period, I mean – they had to pick up their compete. They had to pick up their defensive coverage. It was the sad sack Maple Leafs the last 12 minutes.
They got sloppy real quick, Gord, but fortunately they came out in the second. And like Mike Babcock said, he went in the between periods and said, it's Saturday night, boys. It's guaranteed win night. And that's what they delivered.
Well, they had to come back from a long way. I guess that's another good scoop for our program here. Early in the second period, the Leaf power play, which had been clicking at a high rate and had diminished during this three-game losing streak, it connects early.
Tavares works into the corner, trying to play it back to the blue line. Riley is able to keep it in and finds Matthews on the left wing. Scores!
Better water it.
Good line by Jim Ralph. Well, Joe Bowen, he's back full throttle. There it is. Austin Matthews, power play goal is 29th from Riley and Tavares at 2:13.
Big goal, no question about it. Just to finally get the boys rolling. And Matthews fools Carey Price because he's beat Carey Price up top. And Price knows that coming in. And Matthews goes right along the grass, 5-hole. And like Joe Bowen said, I'm not going to try and repeat it. If you want to take a stab at it, go ahead. But put some water on it, Jim Ralph says.
Oh, there we go. As far now we've got it 3-1. The Maple Leafs have their first goal of the game. And then later on, they get the power play again. And this time it ends up being the second unit that comes through.
Back to Ennis on the left wing. Back to Gardner. Looking for Nylander and finding him in the pass down low. And it scores! By Patrick Marleau, and they're back within one.
18:08 mark. It's a power play goal. Tyler Ennis is eighth from Marleau and Nylander, and this is a goal that Mike Babcock talked about being a big goal.
Yeah, it was. Nylander draws a lot of players to him on this one where you think he's going to take a shot. He fakes it, slides it down to Marleau, and Ennis sneaks down the backside, and Carey Price had no chance here. And a big goal by Tyler Ennis, his eighth of the year, and that made it a 3-2 hockey.
Well, there we go. 3-2. The period ends. 3-2 for Montreal. But what a change of fortunes. The crowd is buzzing again. Leafs outshot Montreal 15-11. We go into the third period. Can the Leafs come back from the three-goal deficit? Well, they catch a break.
Cleared to center ice, and Muzzin is there again. To the red line, and Marleau shoots it right back in again. It bounces out in front of the net. They score! Holy mackerel! What a fortuitous bounce! It comes off the entrance way of the Zamboni with Price out of the net, and Nylander has tied the game.
Well, he had the spot like you had where it hit. Very unusual.
Yes, very unusual. And you know what? We haven't talked about this yet. Patty Marleau playing only 13-34, Gord, on that third line, looked like he had better matchups. He looked more involved, and he looked like he produced more, had more energy, and he got two helpers tonight. And that one there was lucky, but it looked like a nice little bank where the Zamboni exits. See, they caught a little piece of board, and Carey Price got fooled on it. But like we said, the big reward one here, rewardee, as that's a word, it sounds good.
Sounds good.
Was William Nylander here, and deserving, Gord. He's had a grind to start the year, and like we said, only his fourth goal in 33 games. I knew you had these. See, you got the stats ready to go. That big brain of yours.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
yeah.
I appreciate that being said in the very kindest way.
Yes, it was.
And we thought there's going to be overtime, much like 2 weeks ago in Montreal, but with a little less than 2 minutes left.
Chipped by Mete to center, backhanded back into the near side now for Hyman. Hyman trying to backhand it a little further into the zone, couldn't, but now Marleau steals. Marner with a shot. That's not the rebound. They score! Zach Hyman! Holy mackerel! And Mitch Marner sets it up!
Well, there we go. It is Zach Hyman is 12th from Marner at the 18-10 mark.
Yeah, just a beautiful play here. You know why I was saying it's beautiful? Because it was ugly. They just put one at the net, and they get rewarded for it. Hits Hyman, sticks with him as he goes to the right side, and is able just to put it at the empty net past Price. It doesn't always have to be pretty like you, Gord, or me. Sometimes you got to get the ugly one, and they did that.
Every now and then, that's why we have Vic and Sam up here as well, for a little bit of balance in that. Sorry, guys. Okay, empty net goals. We'll have to take the break because we want to get hockey headlines, but empty net goals by Janssen and Hyman as well. Finish it up. We will come back. It's a 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. Hockey headlines is up next. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Don't worry. We'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We will do hockey headlines at the top of the hour. We'll also do the old Savvy Says, some more NHL trade deadline talk, so we'll combine the two together. Out-of-town scoreboard going on. First of all, just that outdoor game we're talking about, Savvy. Philadelphia has made it a little interesting. They've 3-2 now. Pittsburgh leads Philadelphia with 3 minutes left. We'll keep an eye on that. A lot of shutouts going on. Columbus shut out the Ottawa Senators 3-0. Colorado 5-3 winners over Chicago. That's a big win for the... Oh, I got the wrong one here, do I? Did that? I do that again. I did Friday. Here we go. Okay, here we go. That's 3-2. Okay, take two. 3-2, Pittsburgh leads Philadelphia. Edmonton up 1-0. Of course, no Connor McDavid. 1-0 over Anaheim. The New York Islanders up 2-0 over Vancouver after one period of play. There are lots of shutouts coming up, though. Buffalo 5-2 over Washington. The New York Rangers 5-2 over New Jersey. St. Louis in a shootout 2-1 over Boston, so the Maple Leafs pick up a point on the Boston Bruins. 4-0, the Columbus Blue Jackets shut out the San Jose Sharks. A 6-1 win for Florida over Los Angeles. Carolina shuts out Dallas 3-0. Colorado shuts out Nashville. Yes, it is a big win for Colorado once again. That's a big one. 5-0 in Nashville. And that is a look at our out-of-town scoreboard. What catches Savvy's eyes?
Well, the Sam Reinhart hat trick today for Buffalo, you know, him stepping up. You saying Skinner took a stinger, but
yeah.
returned.
So it looked like it could have been a lot more serious, so they're very fortunate that way.
Craig Berube and the St. Louis Blues continue to roll on, beating my Boston Bruins.
Craig Berube's your buddy, so that's good.
Yeah.
A little trade-off there.
Carolina with a huge win in Dallas, so Dallas decided to bulk up. Florida spanked L.A., like you said. And Columbus, Matt Duchene with his first goal and his assist at home in Columbus, his new home. And Ryan Dzingel will join him and help make a playoff push for these Carolina, for these Columbus Blue Jackets. It'll be interesting. I don't know if they still even have enough, but they have a solid hockey team.
Yeah, and Ryan Dzingel traded for 2 second-round picks. They also gave up a seventh, Ottawa did, to Columbus. And we also talked about Matt Zuccarello going from the New York Rangers to Dallas and some draft picks going back that way. We'll talk about that in a second. And meanwhile, yeah, we said next game is Monday for the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Buffalo Sabres. And, boy, I know our son Justin and a lot of people out there looking forward to next Wednesday's game. Despite the Edmonton Oilers' woes, everybody wants to see Connor McDavid. So that was by the hair of my chinny-chin-chin, the decision about a two-game suspension for Connor McDavid. So if it had been three, he would have missed the game in Toronto. Instead, he's missing the game tonight that Edmonton's playing against Anaheim.
You don't think that was planned at all, maybe? Coming to Toronto? Like, they only suspended him because they wanted him to play in Toronto? For the hockey markets? I thought about that today on the way in.
Well, I'm actually surprised. I know Ovechkin's been suspended before, but not Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky, I don't believe, anyway. So they went after the big gun, which is what they should do. I mean, everyone should be treated equally. It was a headshot on Nick Leddy as far as that goes.
Well, he definitely deserved the suspension. What I'm trying to say to you is that because he's coming to Toronto, they didn't give him the third game. They wanted him to play in Toronto because
so you're doing the conspiracy theory.
I'm doing the conspiracy theory. Can you just agree with me for once?
About the conspiracy? Sure, I'll go along with that. It's easier than arguing with you. So sure. That sounds great. That sounds great conspiracy theory there. And
Thank you.
Rangers big five to win some balance scoring that way. And Duchene getting into it in Columbus right now. About getting some points in that. So that's what went on tonight in the out-of-town scoreboard. So when we come back, we'll hear, Savvy says, we'll have some more trade deadline talk, as we mentioned. A couple trades happening in tonight's game. Ryan Dzingel going from Ottawa to Columbus, and Matt Zuccarello going from the New York Rangers to Dallas. So still a number of players that are out there. We'll talk about that and talk about what the Toronto Maple Leafs may be looking at doing as well. Tonight, though, for the first time in 9 years, they came back from a 3-0 deficit to win a hockey game. A 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. Scotiabank Arena was rocking tonight. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. We are sitting at an empty Scotiabank Arena in our broadcast location that was rocking about an hour and a half ago. Of course, Sam McKee, our producer here, Vic Palladian as well, and Josh Santos and Kyle Norris back at Mission Control, all enjoying the game tonight. The Maple Leafs down 3-0, come back for a 6-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. And Savvy, out-of-town scoreboard, we just heard on the 2020 update, and we're watching it. The Philadelphia fans are home in the stadium series, and their Flyers have made them happy.
Yeah, real happy.
Yeah, don't. would you care to elaborate on that a little bit?
Just an ugly goal late here by Voracek, or Gritty, if you will. He's starting to look like Gritty a little bit. He just catches Murray sleeping, I guess, and wasn't ready for the shot. And all of a sudden, they're headed to OT in the outdoor game.
you know, if you want to do color commentary and that down the road, you might want to work on being a little more expansive, you know. Wouldn't hurt a little bit. There, Gritty, by the way, rappelled in the building, and then he ran up the stairs to the Rocky tune. So
that's awesome.
Good on Gritty. He's been like a Rookie of the Year candidate. I know you're all getting set and pumped because we're going to have a Savvy Says segment, and we're going to talk about the NHL trade deadline and all that could happen or not. Savvy's been working his sources out there. But first, always working their sources, let's hear from Hockey Headlines, a second intermission on Hockey Night in Canada. Ron McLean with Elliot Friedman, Nick Kyprios, and Chris Johnston.
Second intermission, time for Saturday Headlines presented by Huawei Smartphones. As Jim mentioned, it's busy. Trade deadline is Monday. Nick Elliott and now Chris Johnston. Two deals today. Let's start there, Chris.
Yes, we're losing some of the names, and we still got a while to go here. Dallas making a big trade here for them. They're third last in the league in scoring. They get Matt Zuccarello to try out to help out them on the secondary market. What's interesting with those two conditional picks they send to the New York Rangers is that both can become a first rounder. If Dallas plays two rounds, one of them becomes a first rounder. And if they re-sign Zuccarello, who's an unrestricted free agent this summer, the other one converts to a first-rounder as well. And Columbus and Ottawa back at it again one day after completing the Matt Duchene deal. The Blue Jackets, who are all in on this season, bring in Ryan Dzingel, a former Ohio State Buckeye back in the area. They send two second-round picks and Anthony Duclair to Ottawa, and the Blue Jackets are trying to win a Stanley Cup this year.
And Chris, to revert the trifecta, there was some talk. You, I think, were in on this, said Ottawa would look at all three of those names that Ottawa had available going to Columbus.
Yeah, you got Twitter excited. Maybe said it a little differently, but certainly when there was some original discussions with Columbus and Ottawa, the Blue Jackets did inquire about what it would cost to get all three players, that being Duchene, Dzingel, and Mark Stone. Needless to say, I think it's a little too rich for what they can do, but they do have a lot of cap space, and I think the Blue Jackets have more plans before Monday.
All right, Mark Stone, and that becomes the next big domino, and what's going to happen here? And there was a sense today, and I'm always wary of making declarations at this time of year. Things change so quick. But there was a sense today that Ottawa, after trading Duchene and eventually Dzingel, would go to Mark Stone one more time and see if there was a way to bridge a deal. And, you know, I don't know. I think they've got a lot of picks, a lot of prospects. They know how much it would mean to the market, I think, if they could work out something. But it would be a leap of faith for Stone, Nick. And, I mean, I don't know what the odds are, but I think Ottawa was going to try again.
Well, maybe they're trying again because the market is drying up on Mark Stone for the Ottawa Senators for no other reason is because their ask is so high. They'd love to mirror the pieces that they got with Duchene. The difference is, Ron, is the prospects out of Columbus are regarded as maybe B's and C's. And what they're looking for Stone is grade A, guys that actually can step in and play right away. And right now, there doesn't seem to be any teams biting, including the Winnipeg Jets. Now, if we were to handicap just the teams that solely are interested in Stone, we'd have Winnipeg at the top, followed closely by Calgary and maybe Nashville and Boston on the outside looking in. And if I'm Ottawa right now, I hope that the market can reset between now and Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern in hopes of maybe one more crack at it. If not, maybe to Elliot's point, you try to get him signed.
Toronto, Chris.
Yes, it's seeming like it could be a quiet deadline here in Toronto. The Maple Leafs have struggled a little bit lately, but it feels as though the prices aren't something that the Leafs are willing to pay. There's been a lot of people tracking the whereabouts of scouts and management, and that includes scouting some recent Carolina Hurricanes games where obviously they have some defensemen, right shooters like Brett Pesce. But at this point, it doesn't seem as though the Leafs are in any position to make a big splash at the deadline. Maybe something a little smaller if they do anything.
Nick, the New York Rangers, Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, listen, if you don't get Stone, I think he's plan B for a lot of hockey clubs, including the Winnipeg Jets. And wouldn't nearly be the cost of a Stone. And certainly the thought of Hayes coming in and playing in the second center ice position and moving Little off to the wing is certainly appeasing to them. And again, the cost would be a lot easier on them. The first rounder is out there, we know that. But now you're dealing with maybe a prospect that isn't NHL ready. Logan Stanley, a big defenseman that was drafted by Winnipeg in 2016, seems to be maybe a name that the Rangers would be interested. That could possibly be enough. And also Nashville, again, would be a team that certainly would look at Kevin Hayes.
All right, just a few other quick hitters. First of all, Eric Staal. The word is out that Eric Staal does not want to be traded. He cannot prevent it. There are lists of teams that have permission to trade for him. However, that he has made it pretty clear he preferred to stay in Minnesota, and some of these teams have said, you know what, if he really doesn't want to be dealt, we're not sure we want to go there. Carl Hagelin, he was traded to Washington this week. Pittsburgh tried and thought about reacquiring him. However, because they traded him within the last calendar year and kept money, the Penguins were ineligible to trade back for Hagelin. That's one of the reasons he ended up in Washington. Finally, Wayne Simmonds playing tonight on 360 and Sportsnet 1 in the outdoor game, delivered a big hit, got a penalty in the first period. I think you're going to see some teams start pushing for him, San Jose, Calgary, and Winnipeg, if Philadelphia feels, all A, it wants to make the deal, and B, sufficiently out of the playoffs to do it too.
And Elliot, Dumoulin did get up and skate off fine after that, although who knows, he may have to do concussion protocol. We'll keep you posted as developments warrant. And obviously we'll have all developments on Monday beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific. Kevin BX will be here. Mark Savard will be here. Steve Dangle will be here. So look forward to our trade deadline coverage on Hockey Central.
Boy, Ron McLean mentioning Mark Savard will be part of the trade deadline coverage on Monday. How about that? We will do a little of that right now as we had Ron McLean and Elliot Friedman, Nick Kyprios chatting about what went on around, of course, our buddy Chris Johnson chatting about what went on. So a little bit of trade update there. First of all, how about the Philadelphia Flyers? You talk about a come-from-behind win. The Leafs come from behind, a 3-0 deficit, win at 6-3 over the Montreal Canadiens. Philadelphia Flyers were down 3-1 late in their game, the stadium series, and they've won it in overtime. And that's a tough point as well for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are trying to hang on to a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, that's a huge one for them. And, you know, they're still going to try and move Wayne Simmonds, I imagine. There might even be a suspension coming. I don't think, from what I saw, I haven't had a great replay of it, that there's going to be one. But, yeah, that keeps them in the thick of things, Gore. It'll be interesting to see. It makes Monday a lot more exciting for all of us.
Yeah, and sorry, you're talking about a hit by Wayne Simmonds.
Yes.
That could be, they're talking maybe of reviewing or not. But anyway, we'll find out. It'll make things interesting on Monday. The other part, to go back a little, Savvy says, and we did this Thursday, and first of all, you had talked about a number of different destinations, and you mentioned about Matt Duchene. You mentioned Montreal, Nashville were two teams that had been interested in possibly signing him. That didn't work out. You mentioned then Columbus as maybe a destination, but you also, you've got a little bit of a little bit more optimism than some people that there is a possibility he could play somewhere and then come back to Ottawa.
Yeah, very, very interesting situation. I've talked to a number of people that I know that are close to the Duchene camp, and he loved his time in his Ottawa. He lives 2.5 hours away in Haliburton, up where I live, and he had a new baby. The family's happy. They enjoyed their time. And the real big thing, and I heard, is that they come to him for advice, that Pierre Dorion talks to him, keeps him involved, and he really enjoyed that part of it. So it'll be interesting to see how they do in Columbus. Who knows? Well, maybe they win a cup, and him and Tortorella walk away in the sunset somewhere, but I hardly see that happening, the Tortorella part, maybe a cup, but yeah, there's a good opportunity that he could re-up in Ottawa.
Well, and again, so we'll find out there, because that was obviously a huge piece to move, and then a few more going today, and Ryan Dzingel being added there. So Columbus Blue Jackets, you know, there still was some talk, maybe they might make a bigger deal to move Panarin and Bobrovsky, getting assets back now that the fact they have Dzingel and Duchene. Like, they might do that with the understanding or the knowledge they feel that they're going to lose Bobrovsky and Panarin, likely to Florida in the offseason.
Yeah, and that's the big word on the street right now, is that they might lose them. Well, they will lose them both in the offseason. So either load up and take a run at it. The house is going to be empty after this year, though. You know that. They're going to be a rebuild in Columbus. So you might as well take a stab at it with all your, you know, ducks in a row right now, and they seem to have loaded up. Like you said, Ryan Dzingel, Matt Duchene, they already have Cam Atkinson, Panarin. You know, Bobrovsky's gone back-to-back shutouts, too. He shut out Ottawa, yeah. And now he shuts out, who'd they shut out tonight? Talk to me. You've been doing out-of-town scores all night.
I know. I'm just captivated by what you're saying.
I know. San Jose. They shut out San Jose.
That was going to be my guess, too.
Okay.
You know?
So yeah. He's had back-to-back shutouts, so hopefully they're hot. Last night was Ottawa.
Yeah.
Thanks for your advice. Anyway.
Insight.
Yeah. So now this is Savvy Says, not Gord Says. So I'm going to take over from here. You just have a little seat. Anyways, the Leafs, you know what? I still think they're going to make a move, Gord, and it might not be a Kreider and McQuaid. It might just be the McQuaid piece. It might not be a Simmons and a Gudas. It might be just the Gudas piece. And the other one, like you said, if nothing goes together the way they had planned, the backup plan might be a Glendening or something like that. So I still think the Leafs will be active by Monday to pick up some kind of little piece, whether, you know, it's a fourth line guy, which I think they could use right now to fill in for Lindholm or Gauthier. So I think that's where they're headed. And to stuff they can move, that they're available to move, pieces they can move. And we talked about this, me and you, is they have a good young player in Callie Rosen who's leading the American League in defense scoring with 52 games with 44 points, a plus 10. He's only 25 years old. And the Leafs signed him for 1 year at a one-way at $750 for next season. So he might be something that grabs someone's eye out there. So that'll be interesting in that area.
Yeah, and the other part, too, is like the Liljegrens and those guys that are younger, you're a little more leery to move, right? So Callie Rosen, if someone's looking for a D plunk in, you won't get anything huge for him, but it's a chip, right? Now you're looking for chips.
Exactly, and we both like chips, right? anyway, and then off to Ottawa. Obviously, Zingle's out of the picture, and so is Matt Duchene. So that leaves Mark Stone, and as we heard on Hockey Headlines, the price is steep on him right now. And what I'm hearing the latest is that they are still trying to re-sign him. They're trying to, I don't know if Eugene Melnyk's having a couple neutrals tonight. They're all praying that he does and he can just sign away. But there seems to be a deal that's in place, Gord, for Mark Stone. It's just how the finances work. He's looking at, from what I believe, something like what Austin Matthews and Tavares get, that upfront money. He wants that signing bonus right away. Eugene Melnyk doesn't seem to want to come up with that change for him.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's something the Leafs were able to do. That the cap is the cap is the cap, but if you get, and they did it with David Clarkson, so if signing bonus money is stuff that can't be bought out, so it gives you protection that way. It also gives you more money up front. It's also the year of a potential lockout. You can have it protected that way. So that's something other teams are, and certainly Ottawa, Eugene Melnyk's not viewed as the most cash-flowing guy going, so a bit of a problem. And they played in Winnipeg. It was the strangest thing, the Winnipeg fan saying, "We want Stone. He's a Winnipeg kid." And it seemed, you know, it certainly makes sense if a deal can be made. And I got to think, if they don't get him signed, though, that you got to trade him. You've gone this far, you got to trade him.
Oh, he's going to get moved for sure if they can't sign him. And like you said, you're picking off where I was headed. The Winnipeg Jets seem to be the front runner, Gord. But like Nick Kiprios said in his hockey, whatever it's called,
headlines,
that the asking price is high. And I believe it's a first rounder, a second rounder, a prospect, and I'm hearing Logan Stanley's name out of the Manitoba Moose, a 6'7", played for the Kitchener Rangers up the road, and a player that is playing right now in the NHL, and that's either Appleton or Roslovic. So I'm hearing that's a huge deal for Winnipeg to give him up, and it doesn't look like you're going to be able to re-sign him.
No, the other thing is just that the other part is at when the clock strikes 3 o'clock Monday, you'll have to figure out, you may be going high, and you'll have to settle for something less. I mean, it's kind of a poker game that way. And the other one is what Ken Holland did last year. He kind of chilled, and then Thomas Tatar, he got a first, second, and third from Vegas. And Vegas didn't even play him a lot in the playoffs, but it was interesting there that he held on to his cards and got the deal. And sometimes right now, Ottawa's just playing a lot of cards out there, just saying they want a lot of back. So it'll be interesting. All it takes is one team, though, to want to put up and pay up. Well, so you keep going unless you're gonna.
I got stuff to go, so if you want to listen. So the other one I'm hearing is the Florida Panthers. Mike Hoffman. We have the same agency, and he obviously got asked to waive his no trade and give him the 10 teams. And on his list were a couple teams that seem to be interested. And the biggest one I'm hearing is Arizona are making a solid push. They're after tonight, I think, 3 points out of a playoff spot, maybe four. They have a feel like they have a real chance. They need a goal scorer. 13 goals. I heard that the other day. Galenchuk's leading the team with 13 goals.
Yeah, Lois, Alex Galchenyuk.
So it's leading the Arizona Coyotes. So they want to try and get a Hoffman. Broussard was scratched from the lineup tonight. Same kind of thing, precautionary. They want to move him for sure, so he'll be on the block. He'll end up somewhere in a new uniform. And then off to the big one. The last other big fish I think that's left is Kevin Hayes out of the Rangers. And I'm hearing lots of interest from Calgary, Winnipeg, Nashville, and Boston. And I believe that Calgary is the front runner here. They've been watching this guy closely. I think he fits into their program. They need a nice big center there out west, and I think he would do wonders out there. But the asking price, again, I would think is more on Hayes than it was on Zuccarello. I'd hope. Larry Brooks wrote a piece on Zuccarello just a minute ago that says he's not happy with the return the Rangers got, the two picks. He said they might as well have re-signed him if they could work it out for that. So that's about a wrap, but there's going to be a lot of moves, I think, still to be made, but it'll be more, I think, fourth line and third line players, you know, little additions here and there.
So what are you thinking about Wayne Simmonds?
Well, Wayne Simmonds is an interesting one, Gordon. I think he's not a backup plan, but if no one lands Stone, let's say Winnipeg, or no one lands Hayes, let's say Calgary, I mean, I think that's the next guy. Simmonds falls in. So once you see the Stone guy, the chip fall, because all these teams are trying to get Stone, I think, first, include Nashville in there, but they don't want to give up Toivonen, is it? They don't want to give up Toivonen.
Right.
They've made that clear. They don't want to give him up. So they're not going to give him up. So I think that's what happens. When that chip falls Stone, then we see guys press for Simmonds, and those deals get done. And Ferland and Hamilton are still out there. But with the way Carolina's playing right now, Gord, I can't really see them moving them.
Yeah, Carolina, another win for them tonight. And we mentioned James Van Riemsdyk had a tweet earlier. He'll be pumped tonight with his Philadelphia Flyers coming from behind and beating Pittsburgh in the Stadium Series. And they've been on the road now twice, and they did the Carolina Hurricane Surge. They don't do it on the road, but the dads, it's the father's trip, and they did it. And JVR had a night because his brother Trevor plays there. And his dad, Franz, we've had on before, he goes, JVR just said, I love the celebration, but I don't know, my dad doing the floss now. Might have gone overboard, the one of the Carolina dads.
JVR got the second goal in the Philly comeback, so his dad might be out of floss tonight because he's probably been flossing.
Well, you can never floss too much, okay?
Yeah, well,
I've been
go.
Told that. Well, Savvy, of course, as Ron McClay mentioned, he'll be part of the Sportsnet TV coverage on Monday. We can hopefully use you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, as well. I'm going to do a hit or two for them in the morning, but also be available for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And, of course, then we'll be doing Leafs Nation post-game right after the game Monday night against the Buffalo Sabres.
Is that legal from workers?
Yeah, there's no child labor laws, buddy. Even though you act like a child sometimes, you're actually an adult. So you will be working the full thing.
That seems like a lot of work. You know what my wife told me before I came here? She said, don't try and get out of that Monday night thing. I know you're going to try and get out of it. Well, I'll be working Monday night, folks.
We will. We'll come back and, of course, hear from Mike Babcock and much more tonight's game. What a great night. They were rocking at Scotiabank Arena. A 6-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.